With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We're on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, I saw a package on my porch from Pristine Auction this morning.
You did. You are not allowed to open it. You're supposed to have your wife wrap it for me because I obviously time was of the essence and I just shipped it right to you and I was just like, all right.
I opened it and I'm wearing it right now, man.
No, you're not.
I'm just messing. I don't even know what it is. We'll find out on Christmas. I'm actually going to videotape myself opening it, put it on social media. Guys, we have a guest today. It's Joe Holka. He's a Twitch streamer for DFS Sports and Betting, and he's on Twitter at his name, Joe Holka. Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me again, guys. It's been a couple of weeks. Can't believe it's week 16 already. We were just kind of talking about that before we went live, that it's gone by way too fast, but it's going to be nice to kind of get through this grind in some ways as well. But thanks for having me again.
It's our pleasure. And, you know, for a lot of people in season-long leagues, this is the end. Some people are still going in week 17. But for DFS, we're like in the middle of the season right now because playoff football is coming up.
Yep.
Tons of time, man. Postseason is one of the best times of the year to be playing DFS. So I'm sure you guys will continue pumping out some content for that as well.
Yeah. So, guys, we do have some news to talk about. We're going to have our normal show where we go through cash games for FanDuel and DraftKings. Then we'll circle back around and go GPP. Then at the end of the show, we'll give our lock of the week and our stack of the week. But first, we do have some news to talk about. Josh Gordon. Tags, why don't you tell everyone what's going on with that in case they hadn't seen it?
Yeah, so news came out that Josh Gordon was he put something up on Twitter announcing that he is stepping away from football again to focus on mental health. And it was just like, wow, this is somewhat of a shock. Like, is this the same thing that happened, you know, at the start of the year when they were going through training camp in Cleveland? You know, 2 minutes later, Tom Pelissero comes out from NFL Network and says that, well, he's walking away, but it's because he was facing an indefinite suspension from the NFL for another substance abuse. You know, he basically broke it again. So he did have a relapse at some point, and now he's leaving the game to focus on mental health. And it sounds like this is the end of his NFL career. He's not going to be coming back from this because he's facing, you know, like the last time he had a year ban, and it's like he had to go through this long process, and it wasn't even guaranteed then. As far as I'm concerned, I think Josh Gordon is actually droppable in dynasty formats.
I think so as well. I don't know if I would quite do it yet. I mean, who are you going to pick up? Like, Mike Boone or something like that. He's probably never going to play. So I would wait at least a week. Let's see what happens. But man, this is just so sad. I don't care about the football implications. I just want Josh Gordon to turn his life around.
Joe, where are you at on this? Because like, I'm of the mindset. So here's the thing. If someone was addicted to like crack or heroin or something that can kill them, I would actually understand like the whole thing. And I understand addiction is a real issue. It really is. I've known people in my life that have dealt with addiction. But the reason that I'm not as concerned for Josh Gordon, he can get his life back on track. Pot, you know, pot's his drug and it's not going to kill him. We do know that. I do hope that he gets his life together so that he can have a job and have just a normal life. But the NFL, you know, with pot becoming legal, he might be able to do it legally. It's just the NFL is a place where it's like, you know, Bobby, if we told our bosses that, you know, if we off the air, let's say that we swore all the time and then we got on the podcast and we started swearing, they're like, hey, knock it off. And I'm sorry, this is what I do. We wouldn't have a job. So, you know, you have to respect that.
Sure. I mean, I totally get that. That's one thing, but like saying that you're going to allow, over the past 20 years, there's been over 200 DUIs, people who have gone on the road and could have killed someone, over 100 domestic violence instances. Most of these guys are playing in the NFL, people like Vontaze Burfict, who when they go on the field every single time, they are trying to end someone's career and shorten their life. These guys are allowed to play, and you're going to suspend indefinitely the guy who does a drug that's illegal in some places? Give me a break.
I'm with you on that. I don't think two wrongs make a right.
Like, can we just use some discretion? I don't care what the rules say. Just change the rules. It's stupid. Nobody agrees with this.
Joe, what's your take, man?
I'm with you. I have a lot of thoughts about this, but just on Twitter right away, like, people just super frustrated with Josh Gordon. Like, here we go again. Like, I mean, he's a person, like, and
mental health, man.
Yeah, I mean, I that kind of the stuff really bothers me. But I think in general, like, exactly what you said, like, there's so many worse things that he could be doing, like worse things for his body in general. Like, so, like you said, all the domestic violence stuff, the DUI stuff, like those people, obviously, I put them on a completely different tier. But
he could be drinking coffee every day. That's probably worse for his body. Sorry, Tags.
Yeah, just I'm a big coffee guy too, Tags, don't worry. But just in general, like, I mean, there's worse things even that people can do for pain. And a lot of these athletes, football players in particular, like being addicted to painkillers, like, I mean, that's something that's really going to hurt your body long term. It's unfortunate. I mean, from my perspective, like, it's hope that, like you said, at life after football is something that goes well for him. Just kind of a little bit bummed overall that we're not going to get to see him play again.
You know, you've heard him speak, and he's really articulate. I could see him being in the booth someday. Apparently, he's a student of the game. Maybe he gets it together and does that. Anyways, this is the DFS show. We never go off the rails. This is just something that really fired me up.
I do want to clarify, though. I want to say that people smoke pot. If you can go about your everyday life doing it, that's fine. I have no issue with that. It's more just about, like, you knew what the rules were, and you broke them. And that's why I don't think two wrongs make a right by saying the other guys that domestic violence, I don't think they should ever play it down in the NFL again. But Josh Gordon has had his chances.
All right, let's move on to the other news. Todd Gurley and Keenan Allen are expected to play. Now, we'll see what happens. I'm still not so sure about Todd Gurley. They went and signed C.J. Anderson, which does not bode well for Gurley. With that said, apparently he's good to go. Does this change your view on Mike Williams whatsoever, Joe?
A little bit. I think that paying all the way up for Keenan Allen is always kind of a tougher type of decision, and this definitely puts a little bit of fog on that for me, like a hip injury. I mean, it's not considered serious, but I mean, they legitimately have a shot for a first round bye in playoffs at this point, so I don't think there's a ton of motivation to really give him that full complement of snaps. But yeah, so if we're looking elsewhere in that game, definitely think there's some other directions we can go on Saturday night. Mike Williams, definitely one of those guys in play.
I've played with a hip injury. I've played with a lot of injuries, okay? Playing with a foot injury is the absolute worst, but right after that, I think even worse than a sprained ankle, a sprained knee, is playing with a hip injury. I will not be playing Keenan Allen. Obviously, the matchup isn't good, but I'm not so sure that he's really going to be all that productive. I'm fine with playing him in season long. Like, he's still a wide receiver, low-end 2, high-end 3 for me, but he's nowhere near where I would usually have him.
Yeah, I actually had a hip surgery back when I was still playing pro hockey, and it just really affects so much of, like, not only even just like your mobility in general, just like a lot of like your quick twitch type stuff. It's all kind of connected, right? So I think that for someone that kind of relies on their explosiveness and really getting open in space, I think that Keenan Allen with the hip injury in particular is something that we definitely need to take into account.
Nailed it. All right, James Conner is doubtful. Does this mean Jalen Samuels? Obviously, we're going to talk running backs here in a second, but Tags, does this mean Jalen Samuels is in play as a cash game guy?
Yeah, he is. He's someone that orders. I don't know if I want to say cash games. He's very expensive. But at the same time, like the Saints, they don't allow anything on the ground. Everything is through the air, and that's where Samuels gets the majority of his fantasy points, anyways. So I do believe that he is worth a play. I don't think I would trust him in cash, though. Like, we're gonna talk about all that stuff, but
there's just too many good cash game plays that I don't need Jalen Samuels. I agree with you. We'll talk about that here in just a second. And then Lamar Miller and Spencer Ware are practicing. Keep an eye on that. Obviously, if Ware plays, you don't want to play Damian Williams, who is on the radar. Alfred Blue, probably you don't even need to think about him anyway. So Lamar Miller and him are off the table. But did want to make you guys aware of that. Now, before we get into the quarterback position, which is where we're going to start, I did want to talk about Pristine Auction, which I alluded to a little bit earlier. We've got a contest going on thanks to Pristine Auction. We're giving away a signed David Johnson helmet to one lucky listener. You go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. Takes about 30 seconds. And while you're at it, check out what Pristine Auction has for you. They've got something for everybody. hundreds of auctions that end daily. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. You're not going to believe some of these prices. I saw a Davante Adams signed Packers chrome helmet. Went for just $70 yesterday, guys. A T.Y. Hilton signed Colts jersey, $66. You can get stuff under $50 as well. And there's some really high-end stuff, too. Like, if you've got some money to spend, you can get some amazing things. Check out pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. When you buy something from them, make sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. That way we can keep doing these giveaways. All right, guys, quarterback position. I've got three or four of them that I'm considering this week. Usually I've narrowed it down to one or two. I can't really make up my mind. Joe, who's on your radar?
Andrew Luck stands pretty ahead of most of the rest of the top tier, in my opinion. $6,200 seems like it's a really good price. One thing that I put a lot of weight into when I'm looking at quarterbacks, looking at game stacks in particular, is game environment and what's going on at the line of scrimmage. And this Indianapolis offensive line has been extremely solid, even in kind of over the last couple weeks. They've been giving up some of the fewest amount of pressures in the league. So really like them against this Giants team that doesn't pressure a lot in general. So they're my best matchup at the line of scrimmage this week. And then just from a pace perspective and plays, I think there's going to be a decent amount of passing on this side of the ball for sure. And anytime that we get Indy at home, I'm definitely interested in Andrew Luck. So I think that he's my top guy right now.
Andrew Luck is a very good play. I love his price on DraftKings. On FanDuel, not so much. He's sitting at $8,200. I can't really get into it there, so he's not in my three or four on FanDuel. Tags, is Andrew Luck on your radar, or do you like a couple other guys better?
No, Luck wasn't someone that I had really thought about, to be honest with you. So the Giants, like the lack of run defense right now, I think says a lot. And it's like the Colts are a team, you know, trying to get into the playoffs and work through everything.
Kind of similar to what we saw last week against Dallas, right? He passed the ball 27 times. Mac just shredded him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. And like, they didn't have to throw very much in that game, and I don't think they want to. The Giants are a team that, if you look over their last eight games, they've allowed more than one passing touchdown just once. And I know they lost Landon Collins, which will affect the defense. I think it affects the run game a lot. Losing Damon Harrison up the middle affects the run game a lot. I actually think that Marlon Mack is the play there in cash. I would never cross Luck off in tournaments because I don't think that the Giants secondary is anything to like clearly be concerned with. I just think that their run defense is so bad that it could literally like destroy Andrew Luck's floor because he throws the ball like 24 or 25 times.
I'm with you there. I mean, he had 27 pass attempts last week. I mean, before that, the whole reason, just looking at like over the last 3 weeks or so, they're still the ninth most pass heavy team. But I'm with you, like Marlon Mack's price, like we haven't gotten to running back yet, but $5,500 for a guy that's going to touch the ball probably 20 times. I think you can play both these guys, like really trying to access all the touchdowns in this game is something that I think is at least super interesting. I mean, the Colts do have the fourth highest implied total on this main slate. So I don't mind playing both. I think that the price is really solid on DraftKings for Luck still, though.
Now, Luck isn't my favorite play, but Tags, you mentioned how, you know, the game script might not go in his favor. Maybe they won't pass the ball as much. Probably the most popular guy in this week's slate, at least according to our model, is going to be Drew Brees. He's projected to be owned in over 20% of lineups. He's the number one projected player in terms of points at the position. Not a bad price either, but you look at his last couple games, 7 fantasy points, 14 against Tampa, 6 against Carolina. Why is everyone going to play Drew Brees?
Well, two of those were divisional games. All three games were on the road. So I'm not holding those against Brees. I feel like he's just like one of those quarterbacks that you just feel a lot safer when he's playing at home. And I think that game has sneaky shootout potential. So I don't think Brees is necessarily a bad play.
But in cash games, man?
But no, I wouldn't play him in cash. I don't have him on my list. But I think Roethlisberger is in play. Like, he's expensive.
I'm not playing Big Ben against the Saints. They've been on fire, man.
I know they have, but I don't think their defense matches up well with the Steelers. So the Saints rely on a pass rush. Their cornerbacks aren't great outside of Marshawn Lattimore. Their safety play is okay. I want to address a few things here. Roethlisberger on the road has sucked the last 6 years. Like, there's no denying that. Like, the numbers like prove it. We can't explain that reason, but it's true. But he has played, when he plays on the road and inside of a dome, it's been a little bit different. In domes, he completes 71% of his passes, 9.2 yards per attempt, 11 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in those games. So yes, the Saints defense has been playing better, but here's the reason. I don't think that they're going to allow anything on the ground. And so when you look at that and you're like, okay, the Saints offense is going to put up points, whether it be Drew Brees, whether it be the run game, whatever the case is, the Steelers are not going to be able to sit there and win a 14-7 game like they could have against, you know, the Patriots last week. That's not going to happen in the Superdome. So looking at it that way, it's like, okay, where does the production go? Looking at quarterback and running back production in terms of points on the ground, points through the air, the Saints allow 68.6% of the points to go through the air. All right, that is the most in the NFL. The next closest team is at 61.7%. We're talking about literally a 7% difference. They allow nothing on the ground. They allow nothing to tight ends. Everything is funneled to the wide receivers. Like, they allowed the third most of, like, that passing production I'm talking about. The third highest percentage, 68% of that, you know, that production goes to wide receivers.
So it's James Washington week. Is that what you're saying?
It could be. It could be. That's what I'm saying. It could be like, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown. I don't know how they plan on using Marshawn Lattimore, because if they stick him on one-on-one with Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown can beat any cornerback one-on-one in the game. So I'm really curious to see how they handle that with Eli Apple and PJ Williams and whatnot. So I think Roethlisberger's a good play. He's very expensive to use in cash. So, like, If you're going to tell me that you don't want to spend that much money, I think going down to, like, I can't believe I'm going to say it, but Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, man. He's not my number one. I've got three guys I'm considering here, okay? Josh Allen is one of them, though. Last week was not a good matchup against Detroit. Still put up 20 fantasy points. He only rushed for 16 yards last week. I think that pops back up against New England. I'm going 50-plus here. I think he's pretty safe. I think Dak Prescott is safe. I love Ezekiel Elliott, so I don't really want to play Dak. I guess you could, but Tampa's just been so dreadful on the ground, and they've been better in the secondary. So I think Dak is a decent play. 5,700 on DraftKings. He's just 7,300 on FanDuel. But my play right now, guys, the one I have plugged in is Nick Foles. He pops in both our models on FanDuel and DraftKings. I know he's not very good, but he's so cheap, he doesn't need to be very good. He's throwing 38 passes per game when he starts this year. I think he'll be fine. Joe, am I crazy here?
I'm going to let you say he's crazy.
I mean, if we're just looking at a point per dollar perspective at 4,700, that does a lot for your roster. Typically, we're trying to pay down a quarterback just because the range of outcomes is a lot narrower at this position. So I think it's fine for cash. Like, I mean, just to kind of touch on just Pittsburgh and New Orleans quickly, just because I think that's a game that we do need to kind of get right. Both of these guys are tournament only for me. I am with you, Mike, that Roethlisberger is at least interesting. Pittsburgh's the third most pass happy team in the league over the last 3 weeks. I do have some pace concerns in this game. Both of these teams definitely like to kind of control the ball a little bit, specifically Pittsburgh on the road a little bit more too. Definitely think that the volume should be there for Ben. I'm a little bit concerned on both sides of the ball. Like, both of these defenses have pressured pretty well, but both offensive lines have been solid too. So that might be kind of a net zero. I guess I'm more concerned in tournaments with, like, how expensive it is to stack these up. And you definitely have to think about that. So if you were to stack up Breeze, Michael Thomas, who I think is definitely in play, it really limits what you can do at the running back position. And then Ben Roethlisberger, same kind of thing with his pass catchers. So I'm always trying to spend up at running back when I can, just because I think that's the safest volume on the board. So I'm not super interested in Breeze and Roethlisberger in cash games, just because they are basically a net zero for rushing. So yeah, I think that from that perspective, they're fine for tournaments, but not for cash. Foles, I don't really have a really strong take on, except for the fact that his price is super appealing in a game that I think there's going to be a decent amount of points scored, but that's a little bit scary for me as well.
Yeah, it is a little bit scary. If you miss on Foles at 4,700, it's not like you're really losing that much. And I've got three running backs I just have to have. I love three expensive running backs this week, and I got to get them in my lineup. So I'm making it happen by playing Nick Foles. Joe, is there anyone else at quarterback that you would even consider, or to help tell people, like, okay, if you're playing them, that's not a bad playing cash?
I actually don't mind Mitch Trubisky, your boy, Mike. I'm always kind of drawn to some of these guys that have a really solid rushing floor. And again, one of the things that I'm always prioritizing is the matchup at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think that San Francisco is really going to be able to get to Trubisky in this one. Definitely understand that there's some volume concerns with Trubisky for sure, and how much he's going to pass the ball on the road. It's not a fantastic spot, but still think that with his rushing upside, he's at least in play. And again, kind of the inverse of the Pittsburgh game, it's a lot easier to stack up Trubisky because his weapons are a lot cheaper.
I actually like Trubisky a lot. He's too expensive for me to play in cash, just because, like, they're making you pay up for him on DraftKings. If he was down, like, where he should be, I thought he'd be, like, in the 5,800 range, and it'd be, like, an easy play for me. But 63, it's like that 500 is going to go a long way this week, because, like, if you want to pay up at running back, you have to find some value wide receivers.
Mike, what do you think about Josh Allen? I've missed the boat on this guy completely just because I don't play guys with team totals this low. But I mean, he's obviously like he has everything you want from a fantasy perspective. He throws deep and he runs. So I'm curious your thoughts on him.
So the reason I like Allen this week is because like you look at the game script, New England's favored by over a dozen points this week. The reason I like them like him so much, it's obviously a man coverage team. The Patriots, they run a lot of man coverage, which obviously the defenders, when they're following the receivers, their eyes aren't on the quarterback, which allows for a lot more rushing yards. And I think that's why we saw Mitch Trubisky rushed for 86 yards and a touchdown against them. If you look at yards per rush against the Patriots, they allow a league high 6.5 yards per carry to quarterbacks, and not many quarterbacks have run the ball because it's usually negative game scripts for them, right? So it's like when you look at this for Josh Allen, his plays aren't design runs. Like Lamar Jackson is someone that's he's tied to design runs where it's like that stuff is baked into it. Josh Allen needs to drop back to pass a little bit more. And when he drops back to pass and he can't find any of his wide receivers open that are all like undrafted free agents, he's going to scramble. And that's where he creates the most of his yardage. It also doesn't hurt that the Patriots have allowed at least one passing touchdown in 13 of 14 games. So if we get one passing touchdown, you know, 200 to 250 passing yards and his rushing production, I just feel like the floor at 5,800 is like it's what you need it to be. Like, I understand the Foles at 4,700. I understand it, Bobby, and I think Joe mentioned it, the point per dollar idea that like you hit 3x, but quarterback this year is just so much different where it's like if you have a higher scoring week like we've had for the majority of the season, if you're not getting 18 plus points from your quarterback, it's going to be really difficult to make that up.
Unless you've got Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, and Nick Chubb, and I do.
But what if you don't want to play Christian McCaffrey?
What? You don't want to play Christian McCaffrey?
I think that's a good segue to the running back position.
What?
I don't. Not this week. I've been all over McCaffrey the last couple weeks, but I'm not playing him without Cam Newton. I think people are underestimating what Cam Newton means to Christian McCaffrey. And like, Bobby, we've had this conversation off air. You made a bet against me with Christian McCaffrey, and that both of us, like even Bobby, someone that believes in him, said that he's not as elite as some people think in terms of his skill set. You put Heinicke under center. You take away Cam Newton, which means teams, they no longer have to assign a spy to the quarterback. They basically say, hey, McCaffrey's the guy. You stop him. If we have eight in the box, he's not getting through it. Their offensive line isn't great. Cam Newton, I'm telling you, he changes a game plan for a defense. There's a lot of different things that he does for McCaffrey.
His durability is elite, though. It's by far the best in the NFL, and that's what makes him so good.
That part I'm not even disagreeing with, and I think the matchup is good.
Like, talent-wise, yeah, I'll take Aaron Jones over Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if anyone's arguing that, but...
But that's the thing is like you're paying $8,800 for this. Like, how many scoring opportunities are the Panthers going to have this week? That total, once Cam Newton was ruled out, I think that total, Joe, what did it drop? 9 points?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So it looks like it dropped 5 points, it looks like, at least what I'm looking at. But that's a pretty big movement.
Yeah. Like, what's your take on McCaffrey? Do you think that do you side with Bobby Moore and like the volume is king? You'd pay up for it. I'm just worried that I don't know if Heinicke checks down to McCaffrey a lot. I have no idea how the ball control goes. I just don't have any faith in this offense without Cam.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like last week. Like, last week we had a few, like, clear options of guys that were going to touch the ball a ton that were mispriced with Cook and Mixon. Like, this week's a little bit different. Like, Zeke at 9K is someone that, I mean, you have to strongly consider. But if you want to play him and McCaffrey at 8,800, like, I get it. I mean, it is still Atlanta, 29th in DVOA against running backs in the passing game. I do think that Heinicke, like, definitely affects his touchdown upside for sure. But at least he's not a net zero from rushing too. It's pretty neutral at the line of scrimmage. Honestly, I think McCaffrey's still fine if he's going to get his kind of 20 touches or so. I mean, it really depends on how much he's going to be used in the passing game like any week. It's tough. I think he's very much in play. I think he's going to be still relatively popular even if Cam sits. But I think I still prefer Zeke, probably even some of those other guys past that tier like Joe Mixon or Saquon, taking into consideration price.
He's got over 90 touches in the last 4 weeks. I think he maybe gets more. I mean, I understand the touchdown upside's gone, but are they really going to pass the ball a ton with Heinicke? I think McCaffrey will be fine, guys.
Well, and what's the difference between David Johnson and Christian McCaffrey? David Johnson last week played against the same exact team, and what did he do?
Well, his offensive line is like the worst in football.
Carolina's isn't great, and that's the thing is like now all of a sudden their quarterback situation's terrible. Like, do you literally have to?
Heinicke can run. He's a 4.6, 340 guy.
But do you have to respect Heinicke in the passing game?
No, but you do have to respect that they've got playmakers in the outside. You get the ball to DJ Moore outside, or you get the ball to Curtis Samuel on the end around, whatever it's going to be. They've got these playmakers. Heinicke's going to be all right.
I think you're overestimating.
Cam Newton was awful the past month.
I'm not saying he wasn't, but he still offered. It was still a threat. You still had a game plan against him. I'm just saying that Christian McCaffrey is not a must play. Like, is he a terrible play? No.
Okay, that's fine.
But is he a must play? No.
He's not my must play. My must play is Nick Chubb.
Zeke and Chubb are must plays. Like, those guys should be locked into every single lineup.
I love Chubb just because, I mean, I'm a sucker for Cleveland in general just because they run so many plays. Like, their pace is always so high. Like, the volume just spikes up for these guys instantly. Like, talking about defending running backs in the passing game, everyone wants to talk about Tampa, talk about Atlanta, but Cincinnati, 32nd in the league at defending running backs in the passing game. We have seen Chubb's role grow in that way significantly this year. At 7,300, a guy that is going to touch the ball, gosh, I mean, you could probably put him at a floor of like 20 touches this week, I would imagine. So massive home favorite. Like, he's the guy that I'm pretty locked into early in the week.
Do you like Zeke as well? Is he definitely in your lineups, or at least someone you're considering?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm primarily playing like some mid to higher stakes single entry stuff with like a field size of under 100 people. So I don't really get too cute at running back. I'm just really trying to spend up and secure volume. I think Zeke is right there as one of those guys. So trying to get Zeke and Chubb in and work around that, and then kind of see what opens up from value, deciding kind of my last slot there.
Now, you guys mentioned earlier Marlon Mack is a good play. He's my number four guy. Tags, is there somebody else that you really like that stands out?
Yeah, Mack is definitely there. Like, he's someone that's going to be in my cash lineup too. So I think Elliott, Chubb, and Mack are like my three cash game lineup running backs. If you want to, like, if you're looking for some cheaper options, I mean, Jamal Williams isn't bad at 5,400. Elijah McGuire at 4,700. And I think Matt Breida at 4,200. Those are like the three cheaper ones, like, if like that I would think are okay for cash.
I wouldn't trust Matt Breida for cash at all. I'm not considering him one bit.
4,200 is so cheap. It's so cheap against the Bears. The Bears, like, run defense has started to show a few like leaks over the last like 4 weeks. They do allow some production through the air. They just lost Eddie Jackson, their Pro Bowl safety. He is dealing with an ankle injury. He's not going to play. So I just feel like that there's room. I'm not saying I'm not going down to Breida just because like I have my three running backs, but I think that he is worth consideration.
You know, you named all my favorites on FanDuel. On DraftKings, there's quite a few other plays just because it can get so cheap there. But I do want to warn people off Kalen Ballage. We've been talking about this in the past couple shows. He's $3,700. Everyone's like, oh, he's the starter now and he's super fast. He's going up against Jacksonville. He's going to get like 5 touches.
I hope people play him.
I hope so, too. But hopefully not our listeners.
I wouldn't even play him in a tournament lineup. I'm not even kidding. Even if I put together 150 entries, I wouldn't put him in one.
Now watch Joe come back and say that he loves Ballage. Is that true, Joe?
Probably.
No, he's not really on my board. I don't play those kind of guys, really, that they're super thin like that. I think that in general, if you're going to go that route, I think Marlon Mack at 5,500 is about as low as I'll go. If you're going below that, I mean, just from a touch perspective, Jamal Williams, but I mean, Green Bay has been throwing a ton. It's a terrible matchup for him against the Jets in the passing game, even if they do decide to throw to him a little bit. Tevin Coleman at 4,800, I mean, with no Ito Smith, I mean, he's at least interesting. I mean, the matchup couldn't be much worse at the line of scrimmage against Carolina. But yeah, I mean, I definitely have some concerns, but when you're getting to down to that point, I think from a touch perspective, Tevin Coleman's fine.
What about Jordan Howard? I mean, I know in PPR, you don't really want to ever use Jordan Howard, but he's 4,300 and he's been playing some pretty good football lately.
I think it's more of an opportunity cost spot for that. Like, do you really want to like kind of give up one of your running back slots?
I don't.
And for me, I don't. Right? Yes, I'm with you. Like, I don't think that I want to give up one of my running back slots for Jordan Howard. I would prefer to spend up and then just go a little bit cheaper at wide receiver. That's typically the tiebreaker for me. Usually just don't want to give up that slot.
You know, if you would have told me going into the week that there would be a guy who had 20 touches in each of the past two games, he's a favorite against the San Francisco 49ers, and he's $4,300, I'd be like, sign me up. But you're right, there's just too many good plays to really even consider him.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyone else you want to talk about at running back, Joe?
I'm curious Mike's thoughts on the New Orleans backs. Like, these are guys that, I mean, I think Kamara earlier in the season, it made a lot more sense based on his usage since Ingram's been here. Ingram's a guy that's kind of popping in my model a little bit. I've gone through the process of potentially playing both of them a couple weeks on some tournament teams just to try and capture all of that run heavy upside. I'm not really on Breeze, like I said, but Mike, what do you think about Kamara and Ingram, or even just thinking about playing them together on some tournament teams.
Yeah, I think Kamara's the better play here, just because like I believe that the Steelers are going to struggle to contain him in the passing game. And again, I think that the air is the way to attack this one. The Steelers have really struggled over the last five games. They've allowed, I think it's 4.25 yards per carry. But the thing is, they've only allowed one rushing touchdown in 8 of the last 10 games, and they haven't allowed multiple rushing touchdowns in any game this season, which really caps Mark Ingram's upside, where I don't, you know, even if he does score a touchdown, that's not going to like literally carry your lineup through. Like, you're looking for a multiple touchdown game when you're playing Mark Ingram, because he doesn't get nearly as much work as Kamara in the passing game. So in a game that could be a potential shootout, I think Kamara is the better play here. Ingram's, again, you never want to scratch Ingram off tournament plays, but I just think looking at the matchup, how the Steelers have somewhat tightened up a little bit around the goal line, where not allowing multiple touchdowns in any game this year, it's somewhat telling. It's just like saying that their defense just literally, they focus on shutting down the run once they get down on the goal line. So I think Kamara is the better play, but I don't think I would scratch off Ingram though. Like, I just don't feel strongly about either of them this week, but if I had to choose, I'd probably pay for Kamara.
I just think from that, like that price spot, like where I think a lot of people are going to be drawn to Chubb, Kamara is the least interesting in this massive total game.
He'll be under-owned for sure, like based on the pricing, because people want to play Zeke. They're going to want to play McCaffrey. And then, as you mentioned, Chubb.
I think some people are going to play Saquon too, just because he's so good.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup for Saquon, but it's not bad.
I have some concerns with Saquon too. Like, at some point, do you think that they're going to scale him back a little bit? Like, maybe not. I mean, they're completely out of it, but I don't know. I've been nervous. I got off of Saquon last week, pretty late in the week. I mean, I love his touch floor. He's been someone that's battled through tough situations the whole year. This spot in Indy seems like one that might be an avoid for me. It's a terrible matchup at the line of scrimmage, obviously. Like, he still has that touch floor, but at 7,900, it seems like a tough spot.
His touch floor last week was nowhere near what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like 25 or something like that, and he got 18 touches. So I don't know. Barkley makes me nervous. He's not in my top 8 or 9 options. I just want to bring him up because I think a lot of people will play him.
I wouldn't cross him off tournaments, though, just because, like, if you look at it, the Colts, like, if there's one thing that they've really struggled with, there have been 4 different teams of running backs who have totaled at least 10 receptions against them. There's been 2 different games they've allowed more than 100 yards through the air to running backs, 5 games where they've allowed more than 69 yards to running backs. So it's like looking at the PPR totals that they've allowed to teams of running backs and knowing that Saquon gets, you know, 80 to 90% of the touches back there, I think it's really possible that he does have a big game and is under-owned because of McCaffrey, because of Zeke, because of Chubb, because, you know, all those guys in that range and coming off a bad week. Saquon actually, like, I think that, like, I'm happy you brought him up because, like, I hadn't really thought about him too much, but he's not going to get much done on the ground. But if he does, it's like all he needs is one big run, and it's like he pays off on the ground, and you know he's going to be involved in the passing game. So
yeah, so expensive though.
Do you like him more or less if OBJ plays?
I'd like him more if Odell plays. I like Saquon less. I think his target share goes down.
Yep, I agree.
The only other two I want to mention, and it's just because they had such good weeks last week, Dalvin Cook, but he goes up against Detroit, who's been a lot better since they got Damon Harrison, and Joe Mixon. But he's going up against Cleveland, and they're underdogs in that game. He hasn't been using the passing game as much as I would have expected. So I think a lot of people are going to consider them. I would recommend that you don't. And while we're talking about those two guys, I had them last week in the fan championship on FanDuel, which was a great start. But Michael Gallup freaking blew it. I also had Atlanta's defense, so it was looking really good. I did not cash. I missed by 2 points, and it's a real bummer. But if you're playing over on FanDuel.com, the fan championship is over, but they've got the Sunday Million Contest, which they have going on every single week. It's under $10 to enter. It's called the Sunday Million Contest. And if you don't want to play on the website, their app is awesome as well. Check out FanDuel.com, playing that Sunday Million Contest with me. All right, guys, on over to the wide receiver position. It's DeAndre Hopkins week, right, Tegs?
It's pretty hard to get away from him. I mean, him or Davante Adams, I think those are the two that I'd consider in cash. Davante Adams is like the most consistent wide receiver in the NFL this year. And his price never gets into the elite territory. It never gets up above 9K. And he just like locks you in. Like there's not much to dislike about him. Morris Claiborne doesn't worry me at all. Tremaine Johnson doesn't worry me. Davante Adams does play in the slot a little bit too. So I feel like he is as safe as they come. DeAndre Hopkins, great play too. The downside about Philly is like it's crazy. Like their touchdown rate is like stupid. It's stupid low. Like they've allowed the second most yardage to wide receivers, but in regards to touchdowns, they're not near the top of the list. It's like their touchdown percentage to quarterbacks, I think it ranks as like the third best in the league. The Eagles defense ranks as the third lowest touchdown percentage in the NFL. So when you look at Deshaun Watson throwing the ball 25 times or less a lot of the times, knowing that the Eagles' run defense has been extremely terrible over the last month and a half, I mean, the Eagles' defense continues like to seemingly get worse. They're playing backups every single week, but they don't allow very many touchdowns. That's like the concern. I mean, in terms of like the passing volume they faced, it's kind of shocking actually when I was going through the primer this week. So I like Hopkins. I mean, I'm not going to talk you away from him, but I think Devontae Adams might be even safer.
Okay. What do you think, Joe? Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, or is there another elite wide receiver you like better? Maybe Julio Jones?
Yeah, Hopkins definitely kind of jumps off the page, at least from kind of a weighted opportunity rating that I weigh pretty heavily in my decision-making process. He's getting a lot of targets downfield as well, 54% of the market share of air yards over the past four games. So really like him for sure. I'm kind of with you on Devontae Adams, though, Tags, just because I think the game environment is a lot better there. I've got them as the second most projected plays on the slate. The matchup at the line of scrimmage is great, which I'm always trying to at least put in my thought process for these wide receivers, especially ones that we want some upside from. So one of the mistakes that I made last week, I kind of hedged myself. I thought that Minnesota had a really good chance to get a ton of pressure on Tannehill and Miami, but I also had a decent amount of exposure to Kenny Stills. And both of those things are pretty inversely correlated, I guess, just because if there was going to be a chance for Stills to get free deep, he was going to have time for Tannehill. So that's something I'm trying to pay attention to. So, I mean, Devontae Adams, I don't think that the Green Bay offensive line is going to struggle too much with the Jets pass rush. That's because they haven't been one of those teams we're really scared of in that way. So I think that Devontae over to DeAndre Hopkins is probably the call for me.
Any other expensive wide receivers you want to spend up on, Tags, or are we going down to the mid-range next?
Yeah, I mean, you could talk about AB and Smith-Schuster, but I'm not going to play those guys in cash. Amari Cooper at 7,500 is a solid play against Tampa. Tampa has, like, they've actually played much better as of late in terms of their secondary. Once they switched defensive coordinators, things just started to go a little bit better for them. But I still don't think that they have the talent in the secondary to hang with Amari Cooper. He's not a bad play, but for me, I think my favorite play at wide receiver is Robert Woods at 6,600.
That's a great price on DraftKings. And Amari Cooper is not a good price on DraftKings. He's 7,500, which is the ninth most expensive guy. Over on FanDuel, he's the 16th most expensive. So I'm definitely playing Amari Cooper over there.
Yeah, Joe, what's your take on Amari Cooper and Robert Woods this week?
Yeah, Woods is the guy in that range that I prefer, just paying down for him at 6,600. I mean, I just think that especially if Gurley is limited a decent amount, which we'll see kind of what happens throughout the week with that, we don't have to worry about Patrick Peterson kind of moving into the slot where Woods is going to see a good amount of work. I think that Woods is going to be really popular in that game, but I think probably for good reason. I don't know. At this team in general, like, people think about it as a super run heavy team, but at least like most recently, they're actually over the past 3 weeks, the least run heavy team in the league, which I thought was super surprising when I was looking at that today. So really like him. I haven't really played Amari all year at 7,500. Definitely not going there. But he's your guy, right, Tags? I'm curious if that's changed at all.
No, he's been my guy. He's always been. I never gave up on him even when he went to Dallas. But yeah, and I haven't played him much in DFS actually. Like, I tend to try and get my biases out of the way, like, because I know he's a great player. But I never played him because you just never knew what you were going to get. Like, throw him in a couple tournament lineups, that's fine. But now with Dallas, it's like he's getting consistent targets. And if you look at the wide receivers who have gotten consistent targets, like, I want to say the number was like, if you got six or more targets against the Bucs, like, you're putting up wide receiver two numbers, like, almost like guaranteed. They just haven't had many receivers get that many targets against them. I do love Zeke, and that's why I'm not going to play Cooper in cash, but I do think Cooper is a good pivot off of Zeke in tournament lineups, because I think people are going to jump up to, you know, they're going to jump up to Thielen. They're going to jump up to AB or Smith-Schuster. They're going to go down to Robert Woods or T.Y. Hilton. But Amari's in that gray area where I don't think many people are. I think they're just going to kind of overlook him.
Yeah, not on FanDuel. I don't think that's happening. Another mid-range play that I really like, and on DraftKings, he's really cheap. It's Robbie Anderson.
So torn on him. There's some smart people that are saying that you should be on him this week. I'm struggling with it.
I would have never considered playing him in cash games in the past, but the role he's been playing lately, yeah, sign me up. $4,500?
Has anything led you to him, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the same thing. Like, he's going to be shadowed by Alexander. I don't know. Like if you're one of those guys that just wants to look purely at volume, look at kind of where his targets have been coming from, like it does make a lot of sense at 4,500 in this game against Green Bay. From a game script perspective, they're probably going to be behind. He is one of those kind of high A dot plays. So this is like the one that worries me, like similar to what Stills was last week. Like I actually think that Green Bay is going to be in a really good spot to get pressure against the Jets. So that scares me off of a guy like Anderson who kind of makes his living downfield.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. What about Dante Pettis, kind of in the same range? He's been getting a lot of opportunities as well.
Yeah, I'd rather play Pettis than Robbie Anderson, personally.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, I think both guys are going to be really popular. I think there's actually going to be people that go back to Michael Gallup, too, just for a lot of those same reasons. His target share has still been fine, even after the goose egg last week. And 3,500, like, this is the range that, like, makes or breaks my week, usually, because I'm usually trying to get at least two of these cheaper wide receivers in to jam in as much running back value as I can. So, yeah, it's going to be a tougher decision, but Robbie Anderson seems like a kind of a scary play. If people are really on him, that might make a decent fade. But outside of that, in this range, like maybe we go back to DD, but I guess what I saw from Miami last week, it's just so terrifying on the other side of the ball that they're just going to kind of pound the ball no matter what the game script is like. So I'm worried about game flow in that game, just pace and plays in general. But DD is still 4,900 for a guy that's been seeing a lot of deep targets as well. So I'm kind of torn on the cheaper guys.
Tags anyone for cheap that you're fond of?
Pettis is my favorite one in that range. I think that Chris Godwin at 4,300 can be considered. He's been seeing, I don't want to say equally as many targets as Robbie Anderson, but his target floor has been solid. That's a game they're not going to be, I don't expect them to be able to run the ball against Dallas in Dallas. The game conditions should be good. He has the best cornerback matchup of the three receivers. And if you really want to go like dirt cheaper, like I need to pay attention to his practice participation. He was a limited participant yesterday, but Isaiah McKenzie for the Bills. I think a lot of people want to play Robert Foster, but I think that's a mistake. He's like the guy that's targeted down the field. Whereas McKenzie, he's been targeted 7 times in each of the last 2 games. He's getting a couple carries here and there. He's kind of like a utility player, and the Patriots have struggled with slot receivers this entire season. So McKenzie at 3,900, it's not bad. I don't think I want to tie myself to a Bills receiver, but I'm just saying if you need someone like down in that range that's really cheap, I think he makes sense.
On the other side of that game, do you think that Chris Hogan without having Gordon like at 3,300 is at least interesting? Like he's a guy that's popping in my model just based on what his projection has kind of spiked to, but has no ownership at least early in the week right now. So I'm kind of looking at that too.
Yeah. Like, so Bobby, like I've been looking on Twitter and seeing that, you know, we have people talking about James White going to get more targets now that Josh Gordon's out. Obviously some goes to Chris Hogan, but we've seen Chris Hogan before, like in this offense with no Julian Edelman, with no Josh Gordon, and he wasn't getting targeted then. So it's really tough for me to trust Chris Hogan, especially in like a cash lineup. If those targets go to anyone, I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, Rex Burkhead's not going to be more involved just because, like, I just feel like they're going to find ways to get, you know, maybe Burkhead lined up in the slot, James White matched up in the slot. I don't know. It's really tough to say, but this is a game where they should just run the ball a ton. I mean, I know we skipped over him, but would you guys think about playing Julian Edelman at 7,200 now that, you know, Gordon's, you know, his departure vacates some targets? Like, he's 7,200, so you have to pay for him, but, I mean, his target share has been there.
I don't know. I mean, Julian Edelman is always safe, but I don't really want much to do with this Patriots passing offense. It's just not been good.
I think you have to think a little bit about like the context of the slate. Like last week, I thought that he made a lot more sense. We had a lot of these high-flying offenses not on the slate. So anytime like that kind of happens, I was willing to at least consider paying like a premium for Julian Edelman at 7,200. He's another guy that is fine from a target share perspective, but what are you really gaining as far as ceiling? I'm not really sure. I think that he's totally fine in that range. It's just really hard to justify it, I think, from a ceiling perspective, for sure.
The other guy I want to talk about is Alshon Jeffrey. Anytime you get Nick Foles playing, I want Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, God. No.
He loves Alshon, dude.
I don't love Foles. I just hate tying my wide receivers to bad quarterbacks.
He's so cheap. He's 5,300. He's number 4 in cost per point.
I will say he didn't practice on Wednesday. It looks like it was an illness. But yeah, I mean, with Foles at quarterback, he's averaged 7.62 targets and 14.21 fantasy points per game dating back to last season. That's a stat that Levitan had on the newsfeed at Lab. So was looking at that. Man, it's hard. He's a guy I don't really play much, but I mean, yeah, I guess he's at least interesting with Foles back there.
Joe, anyone else you want to talk about at the wide receiver position?
That was pretty much it. I think at the cheap end, I think people are going to be kind of drawn towards Pettis and Anderson. I agree with Mike. I think Pettis is probably the guy in that range for me. Godwin's an interesting one. Like last week, obviously, really tough matchup for him. He's just been so inefficient with his targets that he has had. But I mean, that price is getting to the point again where I think he's at least super interesting. The week before against the Saints, 10 targets, only one catch. Last week, just 3 targets. So I think going back to him when people have kind of forgot about him is at least interesting in that game.
Okay, anyone else you want to share?
Nope.
All right, guys, let's go on over to tight end then. And it is ugly. Like, I want to spend up on Ertz, of course, but I don't have the money. I don't know what to do.
You want to tie yourself to all Nick Foles pass catchers, don't you?
I guess I do. I mean, you don't want Zach Ertz?
I would rather play Eric Ebron or Kittle.
That's where I am right now, too.
I think I prefer Ertz to Ebron. Ebron's fine, obviously. I think that from a perspective of people are just not going to want to go back after last week, he makes a ton of sense to go back to at this position. Like, this position in general, like, I want to be barbell. I want to get all the way up to these guys that are actually seeing usage like wide receivers and have red zone roles, or I want to go all the way down for roster construction. But I think Ertz is at least interesting. Like, Houston, massive pass funnel situation. They do have a pretty decent sized total. Like, they are at home. They're a slight favorite. Like, the thing that I really like about the Ertz play is that Foles is thrown to his tight ends over the past year on 30% of his pass attempts. That's massive. Just for kind of a comparison, like, everyone wants to talk about how Luck throws to his tight ends a lot. Luck's at 25% over that same time. So it's huge as far as how much Foles likes to throw to his tight ends. And a lot of that obviously has to do with Zach Ertz. A lot of these like massive kind of numbers in that column are guys like Mahomes who have Kelsey, or guys like, again, like Wentz that had Ertz. So I think that has something to do with it. But at 5,900, I do really like his price, because if Ertz was a wide receiver, he'd be 7K. So I always kind of come back to that.
So would you go, like, could you play two tight ends in cash this week? Go Ebron and then Ertz?
Yeah, I don't ever really do that. I think it's fine in tournaments. Again, like, the running back, I just don't really like to give up those running back slots.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just too scared to do it and it's sharp, but it's not something I typically do.
Especially this week with the running back options we have, there's no way I'm not going 3. I agree. I do like Ertz more than Ebron on DraftKings because of the prices. Like, Ertz is only $200 more expensive. My favorite play on DraftKings, however, is David Njoku. Just $3,800 going up against the Bengals. Tags, can you play him in cash?
It's been a roller coaster with him. I think you put him in that conversation with the guys like Cameron Brait, that you don't feel great about. You don't know if you're getting guaranteed production, but this all comes back to me where it's like, I struggle. So when we do these shows, I go through lineups and I try and create them as we go and look at it. And the problem is if you play Zeke and Chubb and Mac, it's going to be tough for you to pay for one of the high end tight ends. Like, if I go up to like someone like Kittle or Ebron or Ertz, you know, one of those guys, like, I have to find, or $3,000 receiver, $3,000 to 3,500. Like, it's going to be really tough to play one of those guys in a cash lineup this week.
Trent Sherfield, baby.
Oh, God. I don't want to do that.
I played him last week and he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then if you go down the tight ends, like, you play Brait or Njoku, you're looking for a touchdown. And it's like, do you want to do that with those guys? Brait hasn't been targeted heavily all year. I think he's had one game with more than 4 targets. CJ Uzama, he's 3,300. Like, his targets have been there. And now that Tyler Boyd is out, I mean, where are those targets going to go? There's going to be targets somewhere. I mean, teams average a ton of plays against the Browns. And last time they played against the Browns, I think Uzama saw 12 targets, caught 6 of them for 39 yards.
39 yards on 13 targets?
If I get 6 for 39 out of my tight end that I paid $3,300 for, I'd be happy with it. I really would, if I can guarantee that. But that's the thing is, like, I'm with you, Joe. I understand. And I do want to pay up for those tight ends if I can. But where are you going to save your money then?
Yeah, I just would. That would be only on a roster where you pay all the way down at defense, pay all the way down at quarterback, and for the most part, pay down at wide receiver, too. I get it, man. I was actually looking all the way down to Chris Herndon at 3,100, just someone that runs a decent amount of routes. But then, yeah, if you're looking at that, Uzoma is the one that really stands out for only 200 more. So 36 routes per game over the last 4. If you're just looking at yards per route run, it's under a yard, which is pretty insane. But I mean, I think that Uzoma, if we're paying all the way down, is at least interesting because we know he's going to see targets at least at 3,300. That's probably the direction I would go. There's not really anyone below 3K this week that I think is that interesting. I think Herndon's the lowest I've gone so far.
I want to mention on FanDuel, the reason that I like Ebron more than Ertz is because he's $1,300 cheaper than him over there. I think he's probably going to be the most popular play at tight end on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it'll be spread out really wide because on DraftKings, they price their players in a very specific way where it's like, you know, if a guy is worth $3,100, well, they price him at $3,100. FanDuel, it's not exactly that way.
Yeah. Yeah. DraftKings has been really tough this year. Like, they're not giving you many gimme plays. Like, Chubbs, I think, is close as we get this week at 7,300. We had Mixon last week, so I shouldn't complain.
All right, guys, let's go DST. Then we'll circle back around and hit up GPP really quick. Is there a cash game DST that you really like, Tegs?
A cash game, I'm going to go New England at 2,500. I mean, I'll even if Josh Allen has a good fantasy game, that doesn't mean that you're not going to get sacks and you're not going to get interceptions. Like, I mean, that's essentially what you're looking for. It's a defense that's at home. Game script should favor a lot of pass attempts. So I think the Patriots at 2,500 are my cash lineup.
I like the Cowboys on FanDuel and on DraftKings. Man, I got to go with Atlanta going up against Taylor Heineke.
But I thought he's going to be good.
Oh, he'll be. I mean, he'll be fine in terms of getting McCaffrey the ball, but I mean, you're not betting on a couple turnovers?
I'm just messing with you. I don't think they're a terrible play.
I struggle a little bit with Atlanta and New England both just because they neither one pressures very well, but I think if I had to pick one, it would definitely be New England against Josh Allen, who takes a ton of sacks. We'll throw picks on his few pass attempts that do occur there. So I think that they're fine at 2,500. If you want to pay like all the way down, the one that I've been looking at is actually Philadelphia, just because of how bad Houston's offensive line has been. Deshaun Watson, we know, will take sacks. So I think that's at least interesting because they are, I believe, slight home favorites still. So looking at that, 2,100, that was the one, like if I'm just looking purely at what's going to happen at the line of scrimmage, which I do a lot at defense, I do think that they're at least interesting at 2,100.
By the way, Atlanta has 11 sacks in the last 2 weeks, which is really strange because they have not done anything all season long in that respect. Anyone else you're considering at cash games, Joe or Tags?
If you're going to pay up a little bit, it's really tough to kind of get away from the Rams at 3,200 against Josh Rosen. I mean, it's a pretty smash spot even on the road for them for sure. I guess pass attempts would be a slight concern, but game script's going to be fine. At the line of scrimmage, Arizona's not going to be able to stop them.
All right, guys, let's go GPP, and we'll stick short on the analysis. So just name the players that you like. Tags, you go first.
Yeah, Dallas's defense is awesome for a tournament. Jameis Winston.
I've got San Francisco at 2,000. I could see them returning a Mitch Trubisky interception to the house.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you kind of go the other side of that, like if people don't want to pay all the way up for Chicago, I think that they're fine against Nick Mullins. I mean, they are on the road as well. There's really not a lot that I love at defense this week, to be completely honest. I wish we had access to the Chiefs because they were the one that was at the top of my board, but they're at Sunday Night Football. You can play them on Yahoo at least, but on DraftKings, it's tough. I think if I'm paying down, it's probably going to be for Philly. If I'm paying up, I'm probably going to try and get to the Rams.
I should have also mentioned Miami. Anytime you can go up against Cody Kessler, you do it. All right, guys, tight end, any GPP options you like? Joe, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a feel for like how owned CJ Uzomah is going to be. He's probably going to kind of trend up as we go, so I won't put him in that range. I'll say Herndon in that same range if you're paying down will probably be a little bit lower owned, I would hope, in that game against Green Bay. If you really think that Green Bay is going to go off, I think running it back with someone like Herndon, where a lot of people are going to be on Robbie Anderson, I think that gives you a decent amount of leverage.
You know, I really like Gerald Everett for GPP. It's not a great matchup against Arizona, but I'll take the touchdown upside. Plus, he has 7 targets each of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Blake Jarwin, $3,000. Like, he's really cheap. I'm not in love with him or anything like that. A lot of the tight ends that we play in cash lineups, those are the guys that tend to move over to tournaments as well, because like it's obviously the guys we're throwing our darts at. So unless you're paying up, so by paying up for a tight end, obviously it's going to create different lineup construction in your wide receiver spot. So and maybe even running back. So yeah, not much changes for me at the tight end position.
Wide receiver, I've got like 1,000 of them. I'll start us off with Michael Gallup against Tampa. He was on the field for 80% of the snaps last week. $3,500 on DraftKings. He's a deep play threat. Talked about all those air yards last week, more than Amari Cooper in the past 4 weeks. John Ross is a decent one as well. He could catch a long reception anytime for a touchdown. Joe, do you have anybody else?
Man, you just took both of mine. Mike, go to Mike Ferrison.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
No, I like both of those guys, man. I think that if John Ross doesn't get it done in this condensed target share, that I'm probably done with him. But I really like the idea of going back to Gallup too. But go to Mike quick and I'll find one.
All right, Mike, what do you have, man?
All right, so I'll mention a few. Traquan Smith, one of my favorites. So Michael Thomas going to see a lot of Joe Hayden, and Michael Thomas will go into the slot as well. So that's Joe Hayden typically doesn't travel there. So I'm not saying that Michael Thomas is going to be shut out or anything like that, but I think Traquan, this matchup kind of makes sense against Cody Sensabaugh. I like him at 4K. Taylor Gabriel at 4,400, a guy that's seeing a decent target share. He does get the depth of target down the field. San Francisco, probably without Akilo Witherspoon, maybe without Kaywan Williams in the secondary. So their safety play, they've had safeties in and out of the lineup as well. And then lastly, Randall Cobb at 5K. He's expensive. Like, it's stupid. I have no idea why DraftKings decided to put Randall Cobb at 5K. But I think he makes tons of sense for a tournament against the Jets, a team that bleeds production out of the slot. Buster Screen is just not very good. And if we have Aaron Rodgers, like if you want to pair Rodgers with like Randall Cobb and Davante Adams, I think you can do that.
All right. So at 4,600, Josh Reynolds, I think if a lot of people are going to go to Woods, it makes a certain amount of sense to go to Reynolds, who sees similar targets. And I think that if there's going to be a lot of ownership on other guys in this game, like I do want to be long on the Rams in general, and just kind of looking as the way things are trending for Todd Gurley, if they end up giving him any rest whatsoever, I think that Reynolds at 4,600 is for sure interesting if he ends up being considerably lower owned than Woods.
I've got two more plays. First, Curtis Samuel going up against Atlanta. We have no idea what to expect out of Heinicke, and really, if it's just a screen pass, Curtis Samuel can take it 60 yards to the house. He is electric. I definitely want some shares of him. And then the other one, we always talk about these wide receivers who are, you know, not in the best matchups, but a lot of people aren't going to play him. Adam Thielen going up against Detroit, I could see him having a monster game.
The weird thing is like it's a small sample size, but like the more I got into that game and like figured it out, like so obviously the change in coordinator did change some things, but Thielen and Diggs played like the same percentage of the slot snaps. That's very significant, especially in that matchup against Detroit, because it's a matchup you want to target when Nevin Lawson playing the slot. But it's such a small sample size that we have from the game last week. It's just 1 week, so I don't want to like go overboard with it, but Diggs or Thielen, one of them is going to have a big week.
Anybody else you want to share, Joe, or tags?
I think I'm pretty much good at wide receiver. I think we touched on a lot of guys.
All right, running back position. Tags, who do you have?
I think Sony Michel makes some sense. Back at home, 13.5-point favorites, 4,900. He's so cheap. I mean, the Bills have allowed multiple rushing touchdowns in three of their last six games. So it makes sense. Like, I know that the touchdowns have gone James Devlin's way, but it's very possible that Sony Michel gets them this week at 4,900. I also don't think that you should cross Leonard Fournette off at 6K. A lot of people are not going to play him after last week. But if for whatever reason it was part of the game plan and they do go back to him and he gets 20 touches against Miami, that's like a blow up spot. And at 6K, he's so cheap.
It really sucks. Joe, you mentioned Mark Ingram earlier. He was my favorite GPP play. So I need to find a couple other guys. Who do you have?
I think that Ingram's interesting. I will say that, so we kind of skipped over Joe Mixon a little bit. I'm trying to get a feel for if people are going to go back to that well against Cleveland. I will say it's a pretty massive run funnel situation. So I do like that from that perspective, a guy that's going to continue to touch the ball a lot. I think it's like all about finding like the price pivots, right? So I think that everyone's going to go to Chubb at 73 over Mixon. At least that's my initial feel. And same kind of thing with Kamara at 7,400. So I think that Kamara and kind of looking at Joe Mixon in this range, as far as guys that are going to touch the ball a decent amount, we have talked about obviously the injuries in Cincy, like someone's got to touch the ball, right? So I think that if they were to lean heavy on Mixon, it would still make a lot of sense.
What about Jalen Samuels, guys? We mentioned him earlier. There's just too many better plays to play him in cash, but I think he's a decent play against the Saints.
Yeah, there's been six games this year where the Browns have allowed multiple rushing touchdowns, including one game with three touchdowns. So Mixon, like if you're putting together a tournament lineup and you want to throw Mixon in there, Nick Chubb would be the one you'd take out, because obviously you're not going to play two running backs from the same game. So it'd be a good pivot. I like that. And Jalen Samuels, we hit on him a little bit earlier in the show. I think his price is just so high, like 6,700.
Not on FanDuel, it's not. That's where I like him.
Yeah, no, I don't think Samuels is a bad play at all. I mean, he's going to catch passes out of the backfield. I don't think he's going to be able to do much on the ground, but that's fine.
I think the price tag for Tevin Coleman, again, at 4,800 is still really interesting. I mean, one of my biggest issues with him the whole season has been Ito Smith. So at that point, like if he's going to touch the ball a decent amount of times, which I think he will, probably 15 or to 18 touches, I would probably project him at. I mean, he does have big play upside, hasn't shown that as much this year. But I think there's plenty of people that are just like super fed up with Tevin Coleman, like finally got their last game. I'm trying to decide, I guess, if people are going to go back there. The price tag is really nice, though.
Let's hit the pause button real quick, Bobby. John Kelly.
Yes, I was just going to say that, dude.
But let's pretend that Todd Gurley is announced as inactive, okay? That we hear Sunday morning that he's out. Is Kelly a must-play in cash? And obviously, he's in play for tournaments, but would you consider him a must-play in cash? at 4K.
Oh, absolutely. If he was $7,000, I'd play him in cash.
Would you have 100% exposure, Holka?
I don't know, man. It's so hard because I think that, yeah, he's going to be just piled on. I know Peter already mentioned him this week, too. He loves Kelly. So, yeah, I think that depending on how much you think he's going to touch the ball, like, that's a price tag that'd be really hard to get away from on a main team for sure.
Yeah, I would have 100% exposure to Kelly and not even think twice about it. And I was even going to say, I'm going to play him even if Todd Gurley's active in a couple GPP lineups, just because you never know. If he aggravates that knee just a little bit, and then we get 15 touches out of John Kelly against the Cardinals for $4,000, that can win you some tournaments. He's going to be like 0.2% owned if Todd Gurley's active, and I think he could win some people big-time money.
So, Joe, if you had to remove one of Ezekiel Elliott, Nick Chubb, and Marlon Mack to play John Kelly, which one would it be?
For me, it would probably be Mac, just because I don't really want to get away from what I think is the massive ceiling and floor from Chubb and Zeke. I have more concerns with Mac as far as his ceiling, probably, because I do like Luck a lot as well. So I think there's more risk because there's two definitely like drastic ends of the spectrum that Indy can be. So like there's always risk with them in general that they're going to go one scale of the kind of spectrum or the other.
Only other running back I wanted to talk about before we move on to quarterback is Elijah McGuire. He's got 20 plus touches in back-to-back games going up against Green Bay. I could see him having a big game. I don't mind getting some exposure in GPP.
Yeah, we talked about him in the cash one, but yeah, I think he's better cash play at 47 than tournament, but yeah, he's not a bad play.
All right, quarterback, who are you going with, Joe?
Yeah, I mentioned him before, but I think Trubisky is definitely going to go under-owned, and he's still in a pretty good spot. I mean, they are on the road, but I always like love to kind of attack these guys that definitely have a lot of volume kind of on the ground. I think it's him, and it's going, maybe this will be finally be the week that I play Josh Allen. I really liked what Mike said about New England, how they play man coverage. Like that was the big knock on last week, just because Detroit's like basically the complete opposite of New England and how they can really kind of defend these rushing quarterbacks. So I think that those are the two guys, if you want some rushing upside, that I think that they make a lot of sense in tournaments.
Tags, I've got two of them, so I'll let you go first.
I think Kirk Cousins makes a lot of sense in tournaments this week. Nobody wants to play him right now because he's not playing very well, but Detroit has been an excellent run defense ever since they acquired Damon Harrison. Their pass rush is obviously going to suffer a little bit without Ezekiel Ansah, but this year they've allowed 8.2 passing yards per attempt. I mean, like that's sky high numbers, and they've only intercepted 6 passes all year. So I think Cousins can take some more chances. I just think Cousins is in a spot like for a tournament. Not bad. And I also think Jameis Winston at 5,500 in a tournament makes sense.
Interesting. Even against Dallas, huh?
Yeah. I just don't think they're going to run the ball against Dallas. It's like the game conditions. It's inside of a dome. We expect the Cowboys to put up points.
They whooped Andrew Luck last week. That makes me so nervous. But for GPP, I guess you take some chances. I like Aaron Rodgers against the Jets. I mean, I know he's been just an absolute turd lately, but I mean, I guess you can't really say that. He had 274 yards last week against the Bears, but he didn't get any touchdowns. He hasn't had 3 touchdowns since week 5. There's definitely a scenario where he could get 4 this week against the Jets. The other play that I'm fond of is Sam Darnold. He's just been playing so much better, opposite side of that game. Maybe this one will become a shootout.
Ugh, Sam Darnold. He's going to be fine in the future. I don't know if I could play him now, though.
He's shown some flashes, man. You don't think he can have a big game?
I think he flashed earlier in the season, too. Like, I don't think that last week was the only time that I think that he flashed. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't think it's necessary to attack that game at all.
I have the same issue with Darnold that I have with Robbie Anderson, right? So Robbie Anderson, I don't think he's going to have time to get downfield because they have one of the worst matchups at the line for sure. And Darnold in particular has been one of the worst players in the entire league this year while under pressure, almost 3 yards per temp less while under pressure this year. So I think that Darnold, even though there's a ton of savings there, I think that going to someone like Foles is someone that I would prefer.
You know, I almost forgot about somebody because he's not showing up on my cheat sheet because I only have guys who are projected for at least 4 points, and a lot of these models that we draw from haven't updated quite yet. Taylor Heinicke is someone I want exposure to in GPP.
Oh, stop. Don't even bring it up, dude. Don't do it. Don't do this to yourself.
No, I'm doing it to myself, and here's the reason why. I already mentioned the playmakers. He's got a good matchup against Atlanta, and here's the thing. Taylor Heinicke is really fast. He could be kind of like Cam Newton in this offense.
Oh, stop. No. This is one of those times where I wish I had a button that I could say, Bobby,
if he gets 60 rushing yards and I win $1 million, I'm not giving any to you.
I need a button.
I'm not buying you any more pristine auction gifts. They're all going to me.
Producer, please give me a buzzer. Give me a buzzer for when Bobby brings up things like this.
Okay, you know, just like I did a couple weeks ago, just like you said a couple weeks ago when I said Kenny Stills is going to win someone $1 million. Made fun of me for that one, too.
I did not, actually. If you go back and listen to it.
You made fun of me. I cried after the show. All right, guys, let's go lock of the week. Cash game lock of the week tags. Who's your guy?
Oh, my God. It's Ezekiel Elliott. I can't not play him this week against Tampa. Tampa's their front seven has been decimated by injuries. Their safety play has been terrible. Their secondary has been better. The Cowboys are returning back home. They're still in a playoff race. They could have clinched last week. It's a home game. Like, I just think it's like we're getting back to the basics here. We're going to Zeke, and he's going to score 25-plus PPR points this week. Like, and I think he has a chance to, like, literally just kind of go off, like, 150 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, and they've got something to play for. I usually tend to go away from tags on this one. Like, if he says a guy that I'm kind of on the fence on being my lock, I'll change my mind, but Zeke is by far my lock. Joe, is that who you have as well? Do you have someone else?
Yeah, I mean, Zeke's one of those guys I, like, don't even really think about because, like, look at what he's done over the past couple of weeks and hasn't even scored a touchdown. Like, obviously, that's going to come at some point. His usage is just so unique compared to everything else on the slate. So he should be well over 10K at this point, and he's not. So I think he's a lock. But I'll say Nick Chubb at 7,300. I mean, the savings that you get off of some of these elite guys like Gurley, like McCaffrey, is pretty useful, especially if you're not going to pay all the way down at some of the other positions. And I think that his role in the passing game that has been growing against Cincinnati, who really struggles in that regard in a game that's supposed to be up-paced, like, there's really hard to get away from him.
Has Zeke been better than Todd Gurley besides the touchdowns?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I think Ezekiel Elliott is a bigger, I want to say, a difference maker. I think Gurley is, like, a phenomenal three-down back, and I think he does a little bit more in the receiving game. But in terms of, like, running the football, Ezekiel Elliott is fantastic.
Like, if you trade teams for them, Zeke is by far the better fantasy player, right? Maybe not by far, but I think he's better.
I think they'd be similar options.
I was just going to say one thing that I always kind of like to look at from that perspective, total yards per game over the last four games is something that Raybon did a study on this not too long ago. And if we're just looking at that, 151 yards per game as far as his total yards, like, there's no one else even close on the slate to Zeke right now.
All right, guys, let's go stack of the week. It can be cash games or GPP. All right, Joe, who do you have?
All right. Well, I guess we didn't talk about this guy at all probably the entire show, but I mentioned how Indy, it's either going to be one or the other for me. I think that if you really want to go all in on Mac at his price, I think that makes a lot of sense. But I still really like Andrew Luck, and I think Andrew Luck to T.Y. Hilton is a really interesting tournament stack. I mean, anytime these guys are at home, 7,100, probably overpriced as far as T.Y. is concerned. But if we're just looking at weighted opportunity, third highest on the slate behind DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas, like, his price is way more favorable than all those other guys like this game. For all the reasons that I like Mac and like Luck. So I'm interested in T.Y. to Luck, especially if it goes under own, which it might not, just because I do think that Luck's going to gain some steam as the week goes on.
Tags, where are you going, man?
Let's go with an interesting stack here. I'm going to go with Trubisky and Tariq Cohen.
Yuck.
I like it.
I'm just messing.
I like
it. I was trying to get a reaction out of you since you blasted my Taylor Heineke one, but you don't even care. You're just like, oh, Bobby thinks yuck. Who cares?
Bobby's going to have, like, 90% exposure to Taylor Heineke and Nick Foles this week. And next week, he's going to come in, like, very depressed.
No, that never happens, man. Every time I say one of these guys and you make fun of me, they always dominate. And then you just ignore it the next week and you're like, oh, that guy sucks.
I'm like, very cautious to make fun of you because I just got absolutely buried by all the Josh Allen people early in the year. So.
I did, too. I'm with you on that one, man. All right, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. I mean, I don't think you want to play Aaron Rodgers in cash games, so I guess this is a GPP one. But we know Aaron Rodgers loves passing to Adams, and he just doesn't have that much else there. So if Rodgers has a big game, Adams has a big game.
Bobby, you should have doubled down here. You should have went Heineke and Christian McCaffrey.
Heineke, McCaffrey, and Samuels.
There you go. That's Bobby's stack of the week right there.
That's my stack of the week. All right, let's end the show on that. Joe, that's all for today's show. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Always fun talking with you. And I miss doing shows with you, Mike. We used to do this every week. It's nice to do this a couple times a year now, though.
Absolutely, man. If you guys haven't yet, check out Joe's Twitch streams. He does Twitch streams throughout the week, and, like, they're live streams where he goes through, and they're very interactive. He talks with the chat, kind of like what I do on Sunday mornings. So check it out throughout the week. Joe does an awesome job.
Yeah, and you can find that link on his Twitter at Joe Holka. Thanks to the sponsors of today's show, FanDuel.com, where they've got that Sunday Million contest under $10 entry, and also pristineauction.com. We've got the contest with them at fantasypros.com/contest for a signed David Johnson helmet giveaway. Make sure to enter that one and check out pristineauction.com, PRISTINE. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.